The Eric Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, is presented by Bill Curry Ford, who presents all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. 0% financing now at Bill Curry Ford. Zero money down, zero payments for 90 days. You can't beat it, and the selection is incredible. Remember the Ira Kaufman discount. You ask that of general manager of Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan. He'll hook you up, and you can find him at the website, BillCurryFord.com. Don't worry. Drive Curry. Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition since 1960.
Hold on. I'm not finished yet. It's horrible.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here in the flesh. We're all back together again on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. He's Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, and he's here with me, Steve Isbitz. Lee D. Kemper is here. We'll be talking all kinds of Bucs stuff today. Ira, plenty on the docket, plenty on the minds of Bucs fans. Is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? And everything's presented by Bill Curry Ford. So everybody has to know that. And another reminder, even though we heard it in the beginning, 0% financing is going now on 2025s. No money down, no payments till into next year. That is fantastic. This is just unbelievable. On 2025 vehicles, Sean Sullivan, the GM at Bill Curry Ford, tells me it's all of them. So check that out, BillCurryFord.com. You can find a big icon on our website, BillCurryFord.com. Is their website, and you can schedule mobile service, which is still no extra charge. So they will come to your home, work on your vehicle, and there's no extra like mobile service fee that you pay for them to come out.
Tremendous initiative.
Which is fantastic. They got their mobile vans, and they're not going to do a three-day job on your transmission in your driveway, but they can do so much there, recalls and more. BillCurryFord.com. Schedule that today. And our friends at Florida's EliteRestoration.com, Ira, we'll talk about them a little bit later. But our fans need to know when they have that disaster, that's who they call. Florida's Elite Restoration, 5-star Google reviews across the board on all their services, licensed mold remediation specialists, water damage pops up all the time, everywhere. You have to address it immediately. Just call them, get that free inspection, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. All right, Ira, look, Bucks were 6-4, and a lot of fans, one thing I've noticed about the fans, Ira, we're going to talk a lot of big picture stuff, but
yes,
we're going to get
are.
Into this game. But before we get into the game, one thing that I've noticed is a lot of fans, they seem to have just forgotten that the Bucs have wins against Seattle. They've got a win against San Francisco. And if the season ended right now, Detroit wouldn't even be in the playoffs. Kansas City wouldn't be in the playoffs. Baltimore, the Bucs are not in bad position at all. Although it does feel a little bit like the bottom's coming out or the sky is falling. Ira, can you put a little perspective on where we are? And then we're going to get into the game.
Good intro, Steve. Good intro. I appreciate it. Lee, I'm here tonight to be the voice of reason. And you're going to disagree with me, Lee, but that's okay. That's okay. You're going to have your own point of view. They're calling for Bowles' scalp. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Let me make a few preliminary points, Lee. I'm pissed off about the New England game. I'm not overly pissed off about the Buffalo game.
Wow.
The Bills were 25-3, I believe, in their last 28 home games. Who are the Bucs, missing 5 starters to come into Buffalo and expect to win that game? Yeah, of course coaches expect to win that game. But the Chiefs went into Buffalo. They went home losers. The Bucs played a pretty good game. The Bucs did not play a bad game against Buffalo. They had the lead in the fourth quarter. And, special teams sunk him because Allen is dangerous enough when he starts on his own 10. You can't let the guy start on your 47. Special teams were a disaster. That is a problem for Bowles, and he's going to have to address it. And we'll talk about how he should address it. The defense played lousy. Lee, that's the most points a Bowles Bucks team has given up since he arrived in 2019. But, Lee, they're 6-4. Are they going to be 6-5? We'll talk about that later in the week. Probably they are. Odds makers think they will be. Even if they are 6-5, I still think an 11-6 season's in the cards. And if it's not, then we got a problem. But if he's 11-6, wins the division again, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. Maybe Evans comes back. Maybe Irving comes back. Maybe Kancey comes back. Maybe Dean's good. I mean, the sky's not falling, Lee. They did not play a bad game in Buffalo. I thought it was a better overall effort then against New England. And I think the game that really bothers me is the New England game. It was home, and I really still am not sure I believe in New England. Buffalo at home, no shame in losing to the Bills. No shame.
Do you know how many people shut off your podcast just now?
I'm trying to be the voice of reason here.
No, you're trying to be a provocateur, because there's no way in God's green earth you could remotely say the Bucs played a good game. They had a good running attack. That's not a game. They didn't pass that effectively. Their defense was beyond atrocious. Their special teams was awful.
So why did they have a lead in the fourth quarter?
Well, okay. Why didn't they win the game?
They weren't good enough.
Because they played like crap. That's why.
Because he doesn't
Ira, you said you're going to be the voice of reason. You're actually trying to tell me they played a good game? You're trying to be a provocateur. You got to be honest with yourself. There's no way you could say that was a good game. Ira, you're losing so much credibility, it ain't even funny. I know you're buddies with Bowles, but give me a break.
You play a bad game in Buffalo, you lose by 25 points. That's what happened.
Let's establish this now. What did they do that was good? I don't care what the score was with 2 minutes going before. What did they do that was good?
They were competitive.
No, what did they do that was good?
They were competitive.
You got to give me a substance. What's competitive? 30 points? What did they do that was good? Please, document. Let's hear it. What did they do that was good? I can think of one thing.
They ran for 202 yards.
Bingo. There's a hell of a lot more to the game than running the ball. A hell of a lot more to the game. And they did not play good.
They don't have a pass rush, Lee. They don't have it.
Oh, now they don't have a pass. Here's Mr. You don't need an edge rush.
Who said that?
I never said that.
They don't have the players to have one.
Okay, here's where I'm coming from.
You're blaming Bowles for Reddick for Reddick having a terrible season? You're blaming Bowles?
Yes, because a coach is supposed to make you better. What don't you get about a coach?
What if you're
That's
not,
why they're there. What? They're not there to have a freaking baseball cap on and hand people Gatorade.
Isn't the player responsible for anything?
And so's a coach.
He doesn't.
That's why he gets paid millions of dollars.
He doesn't have enough to work with.
Jason
Light.
Goodbye. I'm not putting up with this shit. You're that freaking stupid to say they played good. Enough.
Lee, sit down. We'll discuss it.
See you next week.
Lee's walking off into the wilderness over here. Last I seen, he's heading towards Palm Harbor. Let's hope he doesn't do anything crazy.
Ira, this got explosive in a hurry.
The world's not falling apart at 6-4. It's not.
Well, that's not. Lee didn't go there. What he got hung up on is you saying the Bucs played a good game. Now I have to say this: you opened by saying Bucs defense was atrocious.
It was
worst under Bowles, and the special teams lost him the game. So that's 2/3 of football: defense, special teams.
They played a very competitive game.
They were very competitive with two of three phases being terrible.
So?
So I don't think I could say. You said they played a good game in Buffalo. I don't know if I can go there.
I thought they played better than they did against New England. That's my point.
That's certainly a fair point.
And I said 2 weeks ago.
Because there were busts against New England, historic screw-ups as far as explosive plays. The offense couldn't get going. And while special teams didn't lose the game there, I could go with that. They played better than they did against Patriots.
Steve, I did say 2 weeks ago, you better win the New England game because you're probably not going to win the following two games. And now you're looking at 4 losses out of 5 games, and that's what I think they're looking at. Another midseason malaise, I called it. They're going to have to rely on the favorable schedule down the stretch. Steve, can they win 5 out of the last 6 games?
All right, are you going to wrestle with Lee next podcast? Maybe a good wrestling match?
He thinks Logan Hall is J.J. Watt. I don't know what he's looking at. Braswell, Reddick, who are you looking at for this pass rush? No Cansey. What do you want? You know, can Vea do it by himself? I mean, what's going on here? He doesn't have the guys up front, and Light didn't get anybody. He didn't get anybody.
Well, one thing I will say is that I did have...
They had one quarterback hit all game.
I understand. I talked to one of your devoted listeners, Ira, of the podcast in Buffalo, because I was up there for the game. The guy told me, hey, I love when Lee and Ira go at it. He's like, it's, he's like, is it staged? Is it Is it real?
It is not staged.
It's the real thing, and we got it right off the bat. All right, why are we...
Did I ever say edge rush doesn't matter? Did I ever make that statement? Of course I didn't make that statement.
No, but you've kind of...
I said you don't have the right guys to create this pass rush.
But you've been in the Bulls camp a little bit, sort of celebrating that he finds a way to get the sacks.
Has Troyon Chainka done anything since he left?
He's already been, the Browns already got rid of him. So
is Braswell going to go to Cleveland next year and do something?
No. I don't think they have enough talent there either. But
has Reddick worked out, and is that Bowles' fault?
But we've got scheme issues, and they showed up in this game. But you could argue that Bowles was highly outcoached. Why was Anthony Nelson tasked with covering Dalvin Cook out of the backfield?
Not Dalvin Cook. James Cook.
James Cook. What was that?
I don't know.
That was terrible. And then you've got on the long touchdown where you had Yaya Diaby out in coverage. You had a three-man rush.
He said he didn't have Diaby in coverage.
No, he did. No, he said the touchdown wasn't his responsibility. He 100% was in coverage. However, when the play broke down and the guy sprinted down the sideline, it wasn't Diaby's responsibility to stay with him.
So it might have been somebody in the secondary.
At 100, I wrote a story about it with the film screenshots. 100% it was Morrison. You could see it all day long. He drifted in when there was no reason to, and then you see the Bills guy calling for the ball, and there was nobody else really in the area for Morrison to be responsible for. So that was on Morrison, but still, on that play, it was a classic three-man rush, Diaby drops in coverage, and Vita Vea, once the scramble started, Vita Vea decided to drop as well. So they had two guys rushing the passer when Josh Allen threw that ball. For some reason, the Bulls defense is failing. And he gave up on the blitz later in the game.
It's alarming how many big plays they're giving up. There's no way around it. It's alarming.
And that was the hallmark of the Bulls defense in years past.
He doesn't want anybody to get past them.
No big plays. Nobody's getting over our heads. We're keeping it all in front of us. Yeah, we let up yardage. Yeah, we let up some points, but we didn't. Now he doesn't have answers.
He's got a lot to answer right now. He does. But the season is not falling apart, in my opinion.
Now, what struck me, Ira, I wrote a story about this. In that locker room, it did not feel like a locker room that just lost a very tight game in the fourth quarter and a game that might affect our...
9 lead changes means it was competitive.
Oh, crazy competitive. But it didn't feel like... I've been in those locker rooms where, you can hear a pin drop, but this was a big game for playoff seeding and what the Bucks are hoping to accomplish.
Well, and
just the 9 lead changes alone, it felt like, and talking to guys, they feel like they're on the right track. I don't know if they're a little too confident.
Can I add this to the mix, Steve? And this is not an excuse. Josh Allen might be the best player in football. He might be the most important player in football. I mean, who else could do what he just did? So I'm not sure they lost to the Bills or they lost to Josh Allen. The guy's a phenomenal talent. He is. He might win the MVP again. Stafford's coming on strong. But certainly, Josh Allen's going to be in the mix. Buffalo's not that good a team, Steve. But they got Josh Allen. Cook didn't do anything.
He caught that big touchdown.
Their defense didn't play particularly well. The Bucks moved the ball. Their rush defense stinks. It's horrible. It might be the worst in the league.
Yeah, look, but that's part of what's so disturbing is, yes, it's Josh Allen. I agree with you. Nobody else in the league is capable of doing what he did, what we watched. However, the Bucks again faced a team with their top receiving target out in the tight end in Kincaid. They were playing backup receivers, and he's throwing the ball all over the park.
On a day that Cook didn't do much on the ground.
And the Bucks will tell you, Jason Light said it before the game. He believes that he's got the top two safeties in the league. Before the game, on the radio network, Jason Light said, don't sleep on Benjamin Morrison. He's got a $16 million cornerback in Zion McCollum that he paid a few months ago. What is going on?
I think Morrison was playing better in September and early October than he is right now. Now, maybe that's because we're seeing him more. Maybe he's getting a little more exposed. But he's a rookie, Steve. I'm not gonna say that's a bad draft pick. I'm not going to say that.
No.
The Reddick deal looks horrendous. Horrendous. $14 million for the guy?
Yeah, he's playing.
I mean, who the hell wants him next year?
He's playing like a broken-down old pass rusher, which means he's off the field too much, and when he's on, he's not doing enough.
No,
they don't have the horses to edge rush. Even Yaya Diaby, he's got 4 sacks in 10 games. That's nowhere near enough.
He can't be your number one guy, Diaby. He can be your number three guy, but he can't be your number one guy. Winfield, I didn't notice him, Steve. I didn't notice Winfield out there. He's had one or two good games this year. I don't want to think the money's gone to his head, but he's healthy, Steve. He's healthy, and he hasn't been making a lot of plays. McCollum's not playing particularly well. The best player on this defense is Tyke Smith. I think you'd agree with me. From day one, Tyke Smith.
Yeah, what disturbed me a little bit, Ira, and maybe it didn't you, but what disturbed me a little bit is I thought the defense, if you go back and watch the game, I thought they came out with really good energy.
That Servassier Dennis blitz was brilliant.
They were flying around. They forced turnovers. They made some plays.
What a horrible play by Allen.
And on a day where you force the turnovers and you're clearly playing with good energy, you still got beat badly.
Well, that doesn't bode well. They didn't punch it in off the early interception.
No.
They didn't punch it in.
Didn't punch
it in. That counts. You're not going to win that game with field goals, as it turned out. You're not going to win that game with field goals. You got to score touchdowns. I'm not going to knock Grizzard in the Buck offense. He was smart enough to say their rush defense stinks. Sean Tucker looks great. The O-line, I thought, was fantastic. The Buck offensive line was great. The pass protection was good. The run blocking was out of this world. Out of this world. Tucker was good, but the holes were really big, Steve. Really big.
No, the run blocking was excellent, but that brings us to third and two.
Let's talk about it.
Just under 8 minutes left. Third and two. They decide to pass. They throw to Shepard. Doesn't catch it on the crossing route. And I'm not knocking Shepard at all. I know Lee's slapped him around as being number five receiver, but let's go inside that game. Number one, Shepard's a veteran. Number two, he had caught all four targets to that point and was the Bucs' leading receiver.
It's not like you're throwing a Ryan Miller. This is Shepard.
Yeah, he's caught hundreds of balls. I don't have a problem with Shepard, but I still have a problem with you're running the ball well. That's your best weapon on that day. Third and two, you're not running the ball. Why?
That's on Grizzard.
It's on Grizzard. Now, I get it. If Shepard catches the ball, no one says it's a bad call, and that's what fans get to do. But third and two, you pass it and you fail, and then you punt to give the ball back to Allen in prayer that he doesn't march the ball down the field like he's done the last three drives at home. And you know that Josh Allen can simply, because like just what you said before, he can simply take that ball and run it himself 10 times down the field if he decides to, and the Bucs are going to have struggle to stop
that. I got
a
little something to add to that, Steve.
I didn't like not running it twice there.
And you didn't like punting.
Oh, of course not.
You didn't like punting. Now, may I say this, Steve? May I? Or are you going to walk off? I looked at the subsequent Buffalo drive after the punt. By the way, they started on their own 15.
Great punt.
It was a good punt.
Great punt.
So that's number one. It's
coming
not like
right
they gained. It's
stadium.
Not like they gained 20 yards. I'm coming after you right now. All right, they start on the 15. They get a few first downs. They're facing a third down. They don't make it. Penalty.
Bad call. Yeah.
Penalty on Parrish. Now, without the penalty, maybe they're in field goal range. I think they might have been on the fringe. Might have been a 45-50 yarder. Steve, you were there. You know what the wind was like, so that's no gimme. So it's not like Buffalo chopped them up. Without that penalty, they're stopped. They're stopped. Fourth and two at 39. I think it can go either way. Here's my point. If you don't make it, they're going to at least kick a field goal. You're down 8 points. You're down 8 points. It's not like you're at midfield. It's not like you're at the Buffalo 40. Certainly, then you go for it. I can see your argument about going for it, but I don't think it was horrendous that they kicked. There was a lot of time left, Steve.
To me, what was
wasn't horrendous.
What was horrendous was not running on third and two.
That's a whole different argument.
That's what was horrendous. Because you run on third and two.
And maybe you get a yard, and then you go for it.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. If it's fourth and one, Bowles would have went
fourth,
for it.
Fourth and inches changes the whole dynamic.
It does.
And that was your most effective play on that day, running. Running the ball. You had already run 30-plus times to that point successfully. Why did you not think, let's dial this up and run behind Tristan Wirfs? I had to listen today.
I had to listen today to
Bruce Arians on Pat McAfee talking about how he was talking about running behind Joe Thomas. And Joe Thomas obviously doesn't play left tackle anymore, but he was saying no-brainer with short yardage, and it pisses him off that these coaches are going and doing exotic things on fourth and short.
Good for Arians. Good for Arians.
And I'm sitting there listening to that thinking, but we couldn't run third and two behind Wirfs when he's having a good day.
Had a good day.
The running game's going good. You got a hot running back. Come on.
You're more pissed off about that than you are the punt.
Yes.
I can't argue with you because if you gain 1 yard, then you go for it.
And Mayfield was healthy enough to sneak on that day. Ah, it just bugs the crap out of me.
Why is this defense breaking down? Bowles has to answer that.
No, he doesn't.
Bowles has to answer it.
He believes they're
the Glazers
close.
Are looking at him. What is his answer?
What are they looking at? They just gave him all this money.
They're looking at a guy who just gave up 44. It's his defense. It's his defense.
He doesn't. What, you think they're actually saying, Todd, what's going on with the defense?
I would.
And you know what his answer is? We're tightening things up. We got a few rookies playing a lot. Parrish, Morrison, Roberts on the inside of the line. And we're tightening them up.
It didn't help when Dean went out. That didn't help.
No. They targeted Morrison right away. And, you know, overall it worked. But there were a lot more problems than Morrison. So,
What about my point about the pass rush? Do they have the horses? Is this on Bowles?
They don't have the ponies. What do you mean? They don't.
Why do you think he's blitzing his ass off? Well, why? You think he wants to?
No.
I mean, he's good at it.
That's his style and all that, but it's because he doesn't have the four-man rush. But he did dial back the blitzing. Look, the Bucs defense allows yards after yards after yards to most quarterbacks. And the pass defense, like Lee has said many times, the Bucs rank in the 20s in league-wide when it comes to yards allowed every year. And it's going to happen again, despite all the resources back there, because the scheme is it's breaking down.
They weren't doing bad in points per game allowed, Steve, until the last 2 weeks.
No, and they
were coming off the New Orleans game. It was a beautiful defensive effort.
They've made plenty of plays. They played well defensively in New Orleans. They played well defensively in Detroit.
They did.
They shut the Eagles down to -8 yards in the second half a couple of months ago. But the consistency is not there. And
didn't play well in Seattle. The defense
No, horrific. I don't know, Ira. So I'm still shaken by Lee taking off. Still shaken.
Well, you know him. He's not coming off this edge rush thing. It's stuck in his mind. He and I look at things. We just look at it differently. I don't see the ponies. And he's blaming Bowles for not having an edge rush. I mean, you know, can't you say Light's made a couple of bad draft picks? I mean, or Light made it a free agent? Now, was Bowles consulted on these things? Probably.
Sure.
Reddick, sure.
Look, it's a blind spot for however you want to call it, the front office.
And Kancey's absence isn't helping, Steve. He's a good player.
Be it Bowles or the front office, selecting outside linebackers has kind of been a blind spot. They're not very good at it. They're good at other things. That's not their strength. Braswell played 16 snaps in this game, Ira, and this was his time to step up and step through. He can't play better than Anthony Nelson and get more time. That's who he can't beat out to get time. It's a little disturbing. And
what about these? Where are these other guys? These young guys
guys?
That Light's always crowing about the Ramirez's and the Watts. And well, what happened to those guys?
The funny thing is that Ramirez got cut after the season, right after Todd Bowles said, we know he can rush the passer, but he's still learning. He's still learning the defense, and which didn't make a lot of sense, but basically saying he's not good at other aspects, but we know he can rush the passer. Okay. No other team picked him up. So that tells you something. And Marquise Watts.
Say that again. Say that last sentence.
Todd Bowles insisted this guy can rush the passer, and then he got cut. No team picked him up in the NFL.
He's out of the league.
Out of the league.
Keep going.
Marquise Watts has been hurt, banged up. So
let me put a nice ribbon around this thing with Lee. Hold on.
With Lee? Oh, well, if it's about Lee, go ahead.
All right. Until an edge rusher leaves the Bucs that hadn't done much and goes to another team and does quite a bit, Lee's got no case. He's got no case. You got to have an example of that it's Bowles' coaching that's screwing up these guys when I say they're not good enough.
Right, I got an example. Is Yaya Diaby better than he was as a rookie? That's a fair question.
Maybe against the run, he's better. It's a fair question.
What's even more fair is Florida's Elite Restoration is out there for anybody who has a disaster in their home. Ira is the water damage whisperer, which means he knows about water damage. He's looking for it under his sinks.
I had those guys out to my house. They had the latest technology, and they said it's bone dry. You don't have anything to worry about. No charge.
Free inspection. What you do is when you call Florida's Elite Restoration, you say, I heard about you on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Heard about you from Ira, Joe Bucks fan. And you're going to get your free inspection. But if you need their services to actually restore your property or even do a full restore, renovate, whatever it is, their one-stop shop, they're going to give you $500 back if you need their services. They've got those five-star Google reviews, which is very hard to do, as a lot of people know. Check them out, floridaseliterestoration.com. They service the entire Tampa Bay area and beyond, you all the way out to Orlando, and put them in your disaster plan. It should be, everybody should have them on their mind. Florida's Elite Restoration. And remember, Bill Curry Ford, everybody shops for a vehicle. Sean Sullivan himself, the GM over there, has told us on this podcast, he explained once before why the end of the year is the best time to buy a vehicle. And a lot of people end up buying it at that time. So you know what? Just give them a chance. BillCurryFord.com. Family owned since 1960. It makes a difference. Third generation dealership there. And Sean's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you. And it's real. He even says it on his Best in Class podcast. Come and ask for the discount. I'll sit down with you. I'll talk about what you need. We'll talk a little football. I'll do the best I can for you. Where else can you do that? You're not going to do that at a big corporate dealership. Doesn't work that way. All right, Ira.
Hold on. I'm not finished yet.
Good.
Steve, in retrospect, a week ago, how many people thought the Bucs were going to win that game going into the game?
Lee and I picked them to win.
Oh, that's
and
on
they
you.
Should, they should have won the game.
That's on you.
I don't
you.
Care about Buffalo winning 25 games.
Even your poll had 60% said then they're going to lose.
You're right.
And that's Buck fans that don't say that very often.
They don't. But you know what?
They could play the 62 Packers and the 60% will pick the Bucs.
The Bucs won time of possession by 10 minutes in that game.
They had 15 more snaps.
But you know what? At one point in the game, they were up like 14 minutes in time of possession in the fourth quarter. That's unbelievable. You can't lose a game where you clobber time of possession. You score.
You run for 200 yards.
You score 32 points, which, by the way, you should have kicked two more extra points. Stop with the two-point conversions. You're not good at it. Maybe the analytics guy sitting up in the sky can say, hey, the analytics say this, but we actually suck at it, so maybe we shouldn't do it. We're 1 out of 7. They don't have even a good plan on these two-point conversions. And you did all these things, and you still lost. They should have won the game. The special teams, which we really haven't dove into, what's the answer there, Ira? You got to fire the coach already? He had issues early this season. Keith Tandy is the assistant special teams coach. He's been around bowls, has been around.
In this case, I would agree with Lee. I'm looking at the coaching. If you don't like the guys you got on special teams, change them. Change them out. Get some new guys. Cut guys. It was a problem early in the year, and now it's a problem again. And you could argue that it cost them the game on Sunday. You could argue that.
It did. I don't think there's even an argument. It cost. There's no way that you can just keep giving the team ball.
Four long kickoffs? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. But I know what you're
Bowles
saying.
Bowles has a lot to answer this week about the defense. I'm not getting away from that.
Number one question? If he's got a lot to answer.
Are you embarrassed? Yes, I am.
All right.
Yes, I am. Now, it was his birthday this week. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to spoil his birthday. Yeah, I am going to ask that. And you're going to listen to it and say, way to go, Ira. Way to go. It's on him, Steve. It's on him. Now, the offense has struggled at times this year, but not on Sunday. Not on Sunday. Mayfield wasn't great, but he didn't have to be. That was a tremendous rushing effort by the Bucs. I mean, every first down, 6 yards, 5 yards, 7 yards. They didn't face a lot of third and 11s. They didn't.
Graham Barton told me it felt a lot like 2024 out there. And I had someone off.
And that was without Bucky Irving, too.
Yeah, and I had someone tell me off the record that don't underestimate the impact of Luke Getteke coming back for his second game with the rust off.
I can't believe how well the guards played, Steve.
Guards. Jason Light's got to be dancing quietly somewhere because, you know what, aside from building a great offensive line, here we are, November football in Buffalo, and he's got...
And no Bredesen.
Michael Jordan and Dan Feeney, two guys with no jobs, in June, in April, in May.
And Bredesen arguably has been their best lineman this year, Steve.
And these guys played really well. And they've gotten some games under their belt.
Speaking of light, Steve, I'll put you under the gun. Don't walk off on me. You think he's got any regrets about not making a move at the trade deadline?
Could you imagine me walking off?
No. Do you have any regrets?
Well, I look at Jakobi Meyers, and I heard an interview with Josh Hines Allen, their top edge rusher, the Jaguars, who traded with the Raiders for Jakobi, the receiver. They gave up fourth and sixth round picks. He's fit in very well. He's got 10 catches in two games. And, man, would he look good in the Bucs uniform. But does Light have any regrets?
He probably was there a pass rusher that he could have gotten without paying a first-round pick? I mean,
yeah, sure, but might have cost him a second. Might have cost him something he didn't want to pay.
But why? The owners think that this this team has a chance. Has a chance.
Do I think Light has any regrets? No. I think they have a plan. I think they
he's going to get some guys back.
Organizationally, they like how the plan has played out. And maybe that's too much ego. I don't know. But I think they're good.
Can the Bucks win 11 games and fans still call for Bowles' head if they're 11-6? Can they?
That would be historic. He might be the first 11-win coach to have his head called for.
Now,
but I told you before the season.
If they don't win 11, I think that's a problem. You got to win 11 because you were 6-2. You got to win 11.
I picked them to win 10 games this year.
But you weren't sure they were going to be 6-2 either.
No, I never thought they'd be 6-2, yeah. But I thought 5-3 was what you had to do. And so I'm not going to be hypocritical and say that this is not going well.
I think they can win 5 of 6 after the Rams game. I think they can.
Sure.
Now, I'm not sure they can sweep the Panthers, Steve. I'm not sure they can sweep. Canales is doing a hell of a job.
Well, let's see what happens.
And
when
Bryce Young's coming along. Steve's coming along.
But you know what? These teams look different. Every 4 weeks, they look different. Bucks don't play them until, I think, December 21st. That's a long time in the NFL world away. So let's see. But the Bucs are not making it easy on themselves. They only got a half-game lead. And probably the worst part of everything is that Carolina, not this week, but they've got a bye coming up.
So they're probably going to lose in San Francisco on Monday night. They probably will. And, we'll see about the Bucs. The Rams might be the best team in football, right, Steve? I mean, they might be.
Well, here's the scary thing, Ira. You can ask Todd Bowles this after you ask your embarrassment question. You can say, Todd, the Rams have averaged over 33 points a game in their last four games. And ask them about facing a hot offense and all that. Because, look, if the Rams keep doing what they're doing, it's going to be a nightmare. They got to get them off their game somehow with no pass rush.
And it's not going to be windy. And it's not going to be windy.
Now, you got a statue of a quarterback in Matthew Stafford, but a blitz and pressure, as Lee says.
Stafford's seen every blitz in the world. You've seen it.
Just generic pressure is not going to faze him.
You know, they got a good running back, Davante Adams and Nacua. I mean, that's trouble. And they're playing great defense. Well,
yeah,
we'll talk about more.
They've got pass rushers.
And they got pass
rushers. They got trouble, but, you know, they're not perfect. But
so you say the Bucs should have won the game. Should have won the game.
Absolutely.
So that means they played well enough to win the game, and I said they played well.
You're spinning, Ira. You're spinning.
I am
You're running for mayor here. You said they played crappy in two phases.
Would you say the Bucs played a bad game in Buffalo? I don't think so.
Ooh,
I don't think so.
A bad game. Now, I know they didn't play a good game, like you said.
They got the lead in the fourth quarter. Well, how could it be a bad game?
I got to say this. I've never seen a quarterback do that against a team, so I don't like that. And the special teams
it's
was
not just any quarterback.
But Ira, just think about this. I wrote this on JoeBucksFan.com, and I think it's fair. You tell me. If the Bucs special teams this year simply played like they did last year, which wasn't exactly setting the world, they're not a legendary special teams unit. If they just played like they did last year, they'd be 8-2. They would have beaten the Eagles, and they would have beaten Buffalo.
Why would they have beaten the Eagles?
Because the Eagles blocked that kick and.
But they were getting waxed by the Eagles at halftime. They were waxed.
Yeah, but it was a tight game. Bucks shut them down second half.
Maybe they took the. I didn't think they were going to win the Philly game.
All right. All right.
But I got to agree with you about the Buffalo game. You can't give Allen midfield every time he touches the ball. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. Bowles he's got to answer for
his
defense.
So he's got to answer for the defense. Now you asked about Bowles and job security and 11 wins, fans wanting to kill him.
If he doesn't win a division, win the division, he's going to be on the hot seat next year. I don't think he's getting fired.
If he wins 11 games, would there be fans that would still be throwing darts at him? Sure.
It's 3 years in a row winning more games than the year
before.
But I
think it would be ridiculous.
I mean,
so you can't worry about the ridiculous. If they win 9 or 10 games and win the division, I said before the season started, a first-round playoff exit, I don't care how it shakes out, it's totally unacceptable. It's not progress.
That's right.
That's where I stand. That's where I stand. Bowles would drop to 1-4 as in his.
But if they win, Steve,
in the postseason,
Steve, if they win 11 games, and it's an if right now, because they'd have to go 5-2, which I'm not sure they will, but I think it's certainly within their grasp.
Absolutely.
Steve, if they win 11 games, and you know I've said it for years and Buck fans didn't want to hear it, how lucky the Bucks have been, fortunate with injuries, especially the O-line, no injuries, quarterback, no injuries at all, including this year. But, Steve, you got to admit with me, they've had an inordinate amount of injuries. Big ones. Mike Evans is big.
Huge.
Kansas big. Godwin, nothing. Irving, big. You know, now Tucker was great last week, but, you know, they didn't have Irving all those other weeks when they didn't run the ball well. Mark and Gedeke, big. So my point is, if Bowles does win 11 games, given that backdrop, if he goes 9-8, he's in a lot of trouble. He's in a lot of trouble.
Trouble how?
I think he'd go in as a prove-it coach. You know, you better have a big year, or I think you're going to get bounced.
What if he goes 9-8 and wins the playoff game? I'm all about the playoffs. I don't really care. I want them to win games.
Is there a chance they don't make the playoffs?
Sure. I don't think
if they don't win the division, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs if they don't win the division.
Most likely. Sure. Now, and I say that only because, look, Carolina won in Green Bay. They've shown that they can beat a good team. And however this thing shakes out, Ira, there's a great chance that the Bucks only have a one-game lead over Carolina when they go to Carolina December 21st.
Doesn't that sound like last year, Steve, and maybe the year before?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it does. They never have a cushion. They never have a cushion.
Well, they need the cushion because the biggest thing that's going to help this team win in the playoffs is everybody being able to take off week 18 in Tampa. That's just my opinion.
Is Kansas done, or he could come back?
He could come back. Are you done for this podcast, Ira?
No.
No. All right. I'm done. I wasn't planning to talk so much. I was hoping for Lee to carry me.
Lee, you're going to be listening to this podcast. Come on back. Come on back to the Five and Dime. You're going to L.A. Don't get your hopes up. We're going to pick the games. By the way, I'm back on the win column, so I'm 9-1.
Let's reset that. Ira's 9-1. Lee and I both picked the Bills to lose to the Bucks on Sunday. So I am 6-4.
Oh, okay.
And Lee is 7-3, and you are 9-1.
And I'm going to be 10-1 after this week. We'll be back later in the week, Steve.
We'll
be
back
talking about this Rams game.
Yeah, we'll be talking about your interactions with Todd Bowles this week and this huge Ram game, Sunday Night Football.
Do you think I could drag
you out to watch it with me? We'll do a little podcast right after.
You never know, Stevie.
Get you out late.
It's a night game.
I know.
By the way, we're going to know whether Simeon Rice is a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame within the next week. I believe the announcement is coming next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, 2 days before Thanksgiving. I think he's got a real shot to make the 25. He's done it before, Steve. He's done it twice. But he's been eligible for more than a decade. So it's no gimme. And then if he makes the 25, he's got one more hurdle to make before I can make that speech for him. And believe me, I might put him over the top. You never know.
Wouldn't that be something, Ira?
Wouldn't that be something?
All right, well, we're rooting for Simeon. It'll be very interesting if he gets in that top 25. And he deserves it.
Yes.
I'm not saying he deserves beyond that. I'm not sure. Haven't studied it enough. But he certainly deserves to be a semifinalist, and hopefully we get there.
Boy, do I wish the Bucks had a Simeon Rice on this roster.